Okay, if you take out your Bibles, please. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. We're continuing our series on the parables, and I'm trying to control myself and not use too many puns about parables and stuff, but I'll probably get back to that eventually. Maybe I'll get two bulls up here, or I'll get two male cows to come in. Okay. A lot of Jesus' parables talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I mean, it depends on which gospel you're reading. Matthew, for instance, talks about the kingdom of heaven more, whereas, like you see, Luke and Mark will refer to as the kingdom of God. They're really the same thing. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is, you could call it the place where God rules, okay? It's where God is in charge, where his will is done. Jesus is kind of referring to the kingdom of God when he prays and he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That God's rule would be on earth the way it is in heaven. Even though God is the maker of everything, I think it can be obvious that not everyone recognizes God's rule. Okay, I think if I were to say walk around today, I would just freeze. But if I were to wait until the weather is better and walk around town, and so that people would be outside, and I talk about whether they recognize God's rule in their life, I would think I would get some people say, "Well, certainly." Some people would say, "Are you kidding me?" And some would say, "God, which one?" Some would say, "There is no such thing," you know, all that. So not everyone recognizes God's rule. Many reject the idea of a God at all. Many reject Jesus, the Son of God. And you know, without Jesus, you're not living under God's rule. So, because no one gets to the Father except through Christ, if you're rejecting Christ, you're not really living in the kingdom of God. Now, when we proclaim Christ, when we proclaim he is Lord, when we follow him, we willingly, by God's grace, place ourselves under God's rule. So as followers of Christ, we're part of the kingdom. And the kingdom is here. Jesus talked about the kingdom was here when he walked the earth. It will be fulfilled in a much deeper way when Christ comes back. But we're already part of the kingdom. So I think when we think about Jesus talking about God's kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven, we can think about it as Jesus describing what it's like to follow him. As followers, we're part of the kingdom. To become part of the kingdom, we become followers of Christ. So, when Jesus is talking about the kingdom, we can think of it as Jesus saying, "This is what it's like to follow me." Does that make sense? Okay. I think people often get confused about what the kingdom of God is. Now, if you're with me so far, and I know that was a little disjointed and all that kind of stuff, but it'll smooth out a little bit now. If you're with me so far, how many of you tend to think that following Christ is like being at a grand party? Don't we think about that? Probably not too many people. Thanks, John. You're following Christ is like being at a great party. We're going to read about the fact that following Christ is like going to this great banquet being given by a rich and powerful man. Now, if you were going to go but to a great banquet being given by a rich and powerful man, there would be lots of wonderful, maybe unusual things to eat and things to drink. It would be an amazing kind of a thing. Maybe surf and turf just to get started, right? Or maybe you're a vegetarian, so all kinds of vegetables, cooked all kinds of ways. There'd be lots of fun, probably lots of music. It'd be a great party. And if you think yourself especially being in Jesus' time, In Jesus' day, everyone in that area, well, most everyone, lived a subsistence lifestyle, right? They had today's food, and if they were really, really lucky, they had tomorrow's. And I imagine most of us, if we went home and didn't buy another thing at all to eat, could live for days. You might not have exactly what you want, right? You might decide you wanted Jell-O, and all you had was strawberry, and you really wanted cherry, okay, and that would be really, really hard to put up with. But I can't imagine that any of us have only today's food in the home, and if you don't go shopping tomorrow, there's absolutely nothing to eat. Well, that's how these people lived. And, you know, they might, if they're lucky, have 2 days' worth of food. And we probably have weeks in our pantries, right? So to go to a banquet where, I mean, you could eat until you were full and then some, right? You know, normally you maybe get enough to eat that you're not starving to death, and now instead you can eat until you get sick. I mean, this would be quite a thing. And Jesus starts to describe, this is what being in the kingdom of God is like. So let's read about it. Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son." Okay, there it is. It's like a king who's prepared this wedding banquet. Now, he could have said it's like a king who invited people to come to listen to a sermon. Or the king who invited people to come and work in his vineyard. That's not what Jesus says. It's like a king who invites people to come to this big wedding banquet. And he has more to say about this invitation, but he starts with, to follow Christ is like being invited to a big wedding banquet. You know, in the ancient world, large feasts like this, wedding feasts, would go on for days. You know, you just crawl off somewhere and go to sleep, and you come back, and you do it again the next day. And days, you know, you think of Mardi Gras. That was nothing compared to these kind of things. Especially for the marriage of a son. It's a time of special joy and special celebration. Okay, verse 3. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused to come. Now, something you don't catch there is the tense is that they persistently refused. Okay, they were adamant they were not going to come. Verse 4. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Well, tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." So he's saying, hey, this banquet is going to be great. And the king has already prepared everything. It's all sitting there. You know, if you don't come and eat, it's going to go bad. Following Jesus really is spectacular. Surrendering to Christ is just wonderful. God does wonders around us. He does wonders with us. Verse 5. But they paid no attention and they went off, one to his field, another to his business. See, they stay away. Various mundane things, right? You know, I'm going to go wash my socks tonight, right? You know, I promised my wife I'd get a haircut, so I better go get my haircut. You know, the idea that they just take these mundane things, it's a slight to the king, right? This invitation, the invitation of a king would be a huge honor, and from a king is probably a command. You know, come and enjoy my party, right? And they say, nah, I'm busy. Verse 6, not only that, but the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Okay, they really don't want to go to this party. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Okay? If you're gonna refuse the invitation, in the end, you get the punishment that you deserve. Okay? There are various places we read about in the scriptures. Those who refuse God end up getting the punishment they deserve. Okay? All have sinned. All deserve destruction. Okay? We all deserve it. But Jesus offers salvation to those who will trust and follow. Okay? It's like being invited to a party. And people say, nah, I got better things. See, to reject Jesus is to reject the one path of pardon. Okay? We have sinned against God. None of us can say we haven't. Okay? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I just know. Okay? That includes me. Right? And we need to be pardoned. And there's one way, and that's to follow Christ. If we're going to refuse the party, then we just deserve destruction. We deserve death. Okay, verse 8. So then he, the king, says to his servants, well, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners, invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Okay, so the invited who didn't come probably represent the Jews who had rejected Christ. Okay, not all Jews did. Not all Jews do. But the Jews who rejected Christ. So God invites everybody now. Okay? He goes to the street corners. Okay? Be the forks in the road, places where people would be. And he invites everybody, okay? This is good and bad. I think the idea of good and bad is from our human perspective. I can just picture Jesus as he's saying this, looking in the eyes of some of the supposedly good people, the self-righteous, and saying the good and the bad. Really, no one is good except God. Jesus says that. So it's not whether you're good enough to go to the banquet or not. What it takes to go to the banquet is to accept the invitation. That's all it takes. See, Jesus is the Messiah that saves his people from their sin. Jesus makes us good. Okay? Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave his life so that we can accept this invitation. Okay? Doesn't matter how good you are, you think. Doesn't matter how bad you are, you think. Okay? Doesn't matter what level of shame you carry. Doesn't matter what you've done. You know, I know. But pastor, you have no idea what I've done. I don't care. Doesn't matter. You know? You don't know how often I've done it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Look, I'm good enough. I don't need a Messiah. The only way to the party is to accept the invitation. Accept the invitation to follow Christ. Okay, we're going to start with verse 11. Now, this is actually a pretty difficult part for us, I think. It'd be a lot easier if we just stopped here, which, by the way, is what Luke does when Luke is recounting the parable. He stops there. I almost used that one, but this is worth talking about too. When the king came in to see his guests, okay, the king comes in. Instead of just eating, he is kind of circulating around, enjoying his guests, the riffraff who came from the streets, right? When the king came in to see his guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. And I wouldn't put too much emphasis on the friend. By the way, Jesus calls Judas friend when Judas betrays him. Okay. Being speechless, the idea that he's speechless probably is supposed to show that the man's guilty. Okay. He's not really supposed to be there. Or he's guilty of not wearing the clothes. So the wedding garment is symbolic of a new way of living in the kingdom. We talk about Jesus washing us white as snow, right? We say that, and it's right. We're washed from the inside out, and we're made clean. To be in the kingdom is a new way of living. So we were made right in God's eyes, but we also have to live right. We're called to live a righteous life. Follow the King. So these wedding clothes represent the idea that these people are different now. And there's a man there who isn't wearing the wedding clothes. It seems like he accepted the invitation, but he refuses to do the will of the King. I'm wearing my clothes, okay? I will come to your banquet, but I'm going to do it my way, okay? You know, one of the great songs, I did it my way, right? You know, it's a cool song, and I guess it has its place, but not in really the realm of the Christians. I mean, I did it my way is a great way to ask yourself to be kicked out. We don't do it our way. We don't get to heaven our way. It's not a negotiation. Oh, God, I'll... It's you follow Jesus or you don't. So the king told the attendants, verse 13, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are invited, but many refuse to come. We saw that. And others who come refuse to submit to the way of living in the kingdom. They refuse to submit to the will of the king, and therefore they're rejected. But those who accept the invitation and live for the king are called chosen. So there are three groups of people in the parable. Okay, not counting the king and the son. The king is God, the Father, and the son is Jesus. There's three groups of people. And we're left to decide which one we belong to. You know, who am I? Who are you? Are you refusing the invitation? You know, I got better things to do. Are you accepting the invitation and living for God? I'm there. Hey, is this what the king wants? Is this what the king gets? Or are you accepting the invitation but living your own way? You know, God and I, we have this arrangement. I leave him alone, and he leaves me alone. Yeah. There's only one of these that works. Only one of these is life. Accepting the invitation to follow Christ and then living for him. We profess that Jesus is Lord. He's God and he's in charge. He's master. And quite honestly, whatever your refusal, whatever your reason for refusal, whatever your excuse, okay, look, I don't want the invitation. I got better things to do. I'll worry about this later. You know, my mom's religious enough for all of us. I got so many things I got to do. I just don't have time for God. You know, I'm good enough. My good outweighs my bad. Whatever your excuse, it's not good enough. And I think as people were listening to Jesus, and it's very likely he would tell these parables more than once, by the way. Okay, the fact that Luke and Matthew don't tell it exactly the same way. It could very well be Luke is referring to Jesus saying it one time and Matthew and Jesus says another time. And I don't know why on earth I would expect that Jesus would exactly quote himself every time. But I imagine as people were listening to Jesus, there are hurt people there. There are scared people there. There are busy people. People who have a terrible time trying to trust. People who really, really, really want to be in control. People who have a hard time letting go. People who have way too much to lose. And they're afraid of losing it. People who really just want to do it their own way. Who is he to tell me about God? Who does he think he is? That's some of the places we can be. I mean, some of them are hurt. We're scared. It's hard to trust. It's hard to let go. It's hard to know what God's going to do. But the only path of life is to follow Jesus and live life God's way. Nothing else works. That's the only way. So, I mean, if you've accepted the invitation and you're trying to follow Christ the best you know, the best you can, as far as what he's told you, all that stuff, great. And hopefully this is an encouragement for you. Maybe you haven't thought for a long time that what it is you're living in a great party. So just have fun. Enjoy following God. Maybe you've just been refusing completely. And then the question for you is, well, why are you refusing this invitation? Why are you slogging it out in the field, going to work every day when you can go to the party? And if you're sitting in the party trying to live it your own way, maybe take this as God trying to say, it doesn't work that way. Why don't you live it God's way and really join the party so you can stay? And why not today? And why not just pray now with me as I pray and say, God, I want to follow you. 100%. I surrender. Okay? I'm not going to fight anymore. If you need to, then pray along with me now. Lord God, I have refused you at times. There have been times where I've just been refusing to come to you. I act like I don't need you. I profess I don't need you. And Lord, I admit that I need you. And there are times when, Lord, when I've just said, I'm doing this my way. It doesn't matter what you have to say. And Lord, I am living your way. You reveal your will to me and I will do it. I want to be made new. I want to be born again. I want to be washed by you in your spirit. To have true life everlasting. So Lord, I follow you. You, Jesus, I recognize that you are God and that you died for my sins and you rose again and you live now and forevermore. And I want your life inside of me. So I follow you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me into this wonderful banquet. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did pray that with me, you need to let somebody know. If you're going to let me know, I won't embarrass you, but you need to let somebody know, and we need to talk about that.